Hi, everyone. I'm James Russell, and today I'm joined by Megan Ward. We're two legal advisors at Field Fisher, Silicon Valley. And today we're going to talk to you about the recent decision by the Swedish authorities against Spotify. So on June 13th, the Swedish data protection regulator issued Spotify a fine of 58 million Swedish crowns, which is about 5.4 million US dollars, for failures in its data subject rights process. Today, we're going to have a look at what the regulator said, take away some do's and don'ts, and see some practical takeaways for businesses from the decision. So this complaint against Spotify was actually one of a series that came out of the immediate aftermath of the coming into force of the GDPR, and particularly some complaints by NOYB, which many of you will recognize, none of your business, which they had brought against music and video platforms, seeking to test the application of the GDPR, and in particular, Spotify's handling of its DSARs during the period between 2018 and 2020. So, with the decision issued 4 years after the complaints were made, it shows you just how long these privacy complaints can go on for, and how we're still seeing the fallout of some of that early advocacy of NOYB.
Now, the size of the fine, $5.4 million, is somewhat irrelevant. It's not a large fine for someone as big as Spotify, but what is interesting is that Spotify was still found to have fallen short, notwithstanding the amount of compliance effort they had put in.
Yeah, and I think it's also worth emphasizing that whilst the decision has come from the Swedish regulator, there was actually an involved cooperation procedure. So it does give us quite a good insight into the standards expected on a pan-European basis. Because maybe, right to go back to the beginning of this story, it originally starts with two complaints made to the Austrian and Dutch regulators in relation to Spotify's handling of their data subject access requests. Those complaints were referred to Spotify's lead data protection authority. That's the Integritätsmyndigheten, the EME, which for the benefit of all the non-Swedish speakers in our audience, we will continue to refer to as the Swedish regulator for ease, who, as well as investigating these complaints, initiated a wider investigation into Spotify's DSAR process more generally. Specifically, the complaints concerned the sufficiency of information provided in response to the individual's DSARs and the timeliness of those responses. Now, Spotify's DSAR process was quite unique, and that's relevant to some of the findings that we're going to speak about later on. So it might be helpful just to have a quick rundown of what that process looked like. So it involved enabling data subjects to access their data through various different channels. It wasn't that the data subjects couldn't access all of their information. If they wanted to, ultimately, they could. But in order to manage the complexity of information available, Spotify had set up different channels via which subsets of personal data could be obtained. Now, I linger a little bit on that word channels, just because the decision is actually only available in Swedish. So the Swedish word which gets used in the decision is lager, and that can be translated various different ways, but it's fair to say that layers or tiers are all fair descriptions. I think the key just to emphasize is that that doesn't necessarily emphasize hierarchy. So we're not necessarily saying that there's different levels of detail involved in these different layers, but they're just more sort of separate channels or buckets. So to put that in a bit more concrete context, Tier 1 or Layer 1 provided profile information and personal data that Spotify determined was of the greatest interest to individuals. So that included the likes of the data subject's playlists, their streaming history from the past year, items saved to their library, that sort of thing. Tier 2 was technical log files, which in Spotify's system were linked to the data subject's user ID. And then finally, Tier 3 had a wide range of data which data subjects were informed they could contact Spotify with specific requests for, but it wasn't provided by default. So this included things like listening history on a particular date or an extended streaming history more generally. Ultimately, the regulator did a deep dive into Spotify's processes, and they found that some of this was good and some of this were bad, and so we're going to have a talk about both. The good obviously gives controllers insights into what would be endorsed by the European regulators, and the bad gives everybody some common pitfalls they could avoid. So, Megan, what did the regulator think about this multi-channel approach we've been talking about? Is that okay? Is that acceptable these days?
So, that approach was actually endorsed by the regulator. The regulator said that there was no issue with dividing and disclosing information in that way. But if a controller is going to adopt this multi-channel approach, it must be clear to the individual that they're only accessing one subset of data through the relevant channel and how they can access more. The issue for Spotify was that the complainant thought they were getting all of their data at once, when in fact they were only receiving one subset, which for the regulator served as evidence of poor expectation setting and lack of transparency from Spotify around this multi-channel approach. I think the key takeaway here is that if you're going to divide the information into different buckets, that's fine, but explain up front how it will be divided, what information will be included in the different buckets, and how the data subject can request each bucket. It can't be used as a way to restrict the right of access.
So if abstractly, conceptually, the multi-channel approach is fine, but it's just about this sort of information that you provide, What did the regulator have to say about the information that Spotify did provide, that like accompanying processing information that they did hand over? What were their thoughts on that?
So the regulator provided a lot of commentary on the sufficiency of the accompanying privacy information, which is required under Article 15, 1 and 2. And so as a reminder, along with providing a copy of the data, which were those different tiers, the controllers must provide individuals with information about the processing. And so much of this information would typically be covered in a good privacy notice. And some controllers do simply provide a link to their privacy notice. But the Swedish regulator here held that providing a link alone is unlikely to be enough. Based on the decision, controllers really need to be thinking about providing the level of transparency that the Irish DPC set out in their decision against WhatsApp. In short, it must be granular and specific, but with the additional step in the data subject access rights context, that you need to be specific to the requester. So the Swedish regulator acknowledged that some information will be the same, no matter who the requester is, but other information will differ depending on how the individual interacted with the controller. So the categories of data processed, recipients of data, source of the data, and locations to which the data is transferred all should be tailored to the individual requester. Now, the regulator did find that Spotify had done a pretty good job in certain places, and noted that Spotify had attempted to provide specific privacy information by reference to the type of user in its privacy notice, but it wasn't specific enough to the individual requester.
I mean, this is all sounding a bit harsh in a way. It sounds like there's lots of things that Spotify really did do well. It's surprising that we still have a fine, although I guess, in a sense, this fine isn't that large compared to the size of a company like Spotify. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think sort of need to think of the fine in the context of some of the other compliance work that came out of it, which we'll go on to in a minute, specifically in relation to translations. But I think the key takeaway from this part is that the privacy information needs to be specific to the requester and their situation.
So you're saying that there's also this other compliance work that's sort of hidden to some degree by the level of the fine. Is this where we get into the issue of translation costs? As I know, that was something that the regulator really focused on in the decision.
Yeah, so the response language was automatically set by browser settings. So Spotify had provided most of the information in local languages. I think it was like 21 languages, and the regulator endorsed this. But Spotify failed to provide a translation by default in one notable area, and that was relating to those tier two log files that we spoke about before. They found that the majority of the data that Spotify processes, especially when it comes to the data in those log files, is very technical in nature. And so providing a copy of the log files without any further explanation to the data subject would not provide sufficient clarity for them to understand the processing. Now, Spotify did provide a description with the log files, but only in English, unless the individual requested a translation. And the regulator said the fact that Spotify could provide a translation on request indicated it was feasible, and so not to provide one by default was probably insufficient. And it was critical to allowing the data subject to fulfil their right. They did put forward some commercially compelling arguments for not translating by default. For example, Spotify said the nature of their log files were a moving beast, so it was difficult to keep the explanation up to date, and most of the technical jargon was already in English. But those arguments were dismissed.
Oof. Okay, so even if they're only spending $5 million on the fine, they've still got to spend all this money on translating all of the log files. Is that right?
Yeah.
Oof. So for the average controller out there who's listening, what does all this mean? Pulling together some of those key takeaways, what are the main things that this decision means in practice?
So I think it shows that there's a movement towards granular and individualized responses to DSARs, and this is potentially burdensome for the average controller. So how can you be set up to provide responses quickly that are specific? I think it helps to return to the fundamental stages of a compliance project. So good data mapping, a clear and comprehensive privacy notice, It shows that transparency standards are high, particularly in light of the Irish GPC's decision against WhatsApp. And I think the big takeaway here is that Spotify had done a lot, considering the amount of requests it received, and they'd put in a lot of compliance effort, but it was still found to have fallen short. And so it goes to show the value of attentiveness to your data subject access rights responses and the processes around that.
Sounds like we've all still got some work to do. And I guess if that's all of our takeaways for today, that means we can let everyone back to their workday. So thanks again for tuning in, and we will see you next time. Thanks, Megan.